Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Let's talk to Brian Geltzeiler. Yeah. Maybe let's see what he has to say about this. Brian is with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Brian. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, guys. How we doing?
Good, man. Good, man. Hey, before we get to the playoffs, because obviously the playoffs have been great, we've been talking about how like the Cavs feel like a rudderless ship right now. I don't know if the coach is not good enough, the talent's not good enough, the GM's not good enough. A caller called and got mad at me because he thinks the GM's done a pretty decent job with the hand he's been dealt. I thought he gave away their best chance to win one more championship with LeBron potentially. Do you think the Cavs are in a decent position going forward, or are they a lost cause right now?
No, I don't think they're a lost cause. I mean, listen, I thought he did a really nice job getting involved in that whole Harden thing and bringing in Jared Allen, who's a real nice player.
I think
that he knew not to get married. He traded for Drummond and very quickly realized that. And listen, he got Drummond for peanuts, right? Drummond and realized, well, we're not building with this guy, and moved on from that. Couldn't get anything back for him. And just instead of taking something he didn't want, he ended up buying them out, letting them go, sending them home. I mean, listen, is the two-guard thing going to work with Sexton and Garland? I'm not sure. I didn't love the Isaac Okoro pick, but I can't complain about how he played. I didn't think he was bad. You know, I know people in Cleveland, from what I understand, want to blame him for Kevin Porter. You cannot blame him for Kevin Porter. You have to sometimes look at a situation with a player, and if you have the appropriate audience with him, no matter how talented he is, to get him turned around and have him pull in the direction you want to pull him in. And in Porter's case, he was associating with some people that didn't necessarily meet the approval of, Kobe Altman and others in the organization, and they didn't feel like Porter was a captive audience, so the message they wanted to get to him, and the Cupcake moved on. And I think that happens sometimes also. He was a late first-round pick for a reason. And he's too talented to be a late first-round pick, and those reasons reared their ugly head. But I don't have a problem with the job Kobe Altman's done. When LeBron leaves, you're in a very unenviable position. And listen, the big mistake, and the one that you continue to have to live down, was getting married to Kevin Love when LeBron left. It was a knee-jerk reaction. It was not a smart signing. Love doesn't want to be there. And frankly, the move may be to get somebody else's contract that they're not interested in for Kevin Love and at least get someone in here that will be a little bit better about being there. Love don't want to be there, and Love doesn't want to be there. Right. But I'm not beating up on Kobe Altman for the job that he's done. If you're telling me you got Allen, Okoro, and the two guards as a future core to work forward with, it's not the best, but it's not nothing. And I think there's something to work off of here.
I guess my beef with him was at his end of season, my biggest beef beyond the Kevin Love thing, which was terrible, it may have been Dan Gilbert, sure. I hated that they traded Kyrie Irving where the concentration was to get a draft pick back and prepare for life after LeBron instead of trying to make the best deal you could to try to win that year when you know you're not going to win after that. And not being aggressive in these, they've done fine with the draft picks. You're right. They've done fine. But how about being aggressive and trying to trade up a little to maybe get a better player? And finally, in his end of season press conference, he was patting himself on the back for an hour as if they're on the verge of being a playoff contender. And I don't see it when they've had the worst record 3 years in a row. Any of that unfair?
I think that I'll give you two or three. Okay. The one in the middle that I can't totally give you, like tricking up in the NBA is hard. That's not an easy thing to do. Guys want the players they want, and they're not always willing to to want to give those draft picks to do it. Because when you talk about trading up, like, you know, trading up in the teens is not hard to do. Trading up to get yourself in the top five or the top three is brutally difficult to do. And so you really have to have, and you have to be willing at times maybe to give a future pick. And that's a hard thing to do. Remember one thing in the NBA about your future draft picks. It's insurance against underachieving. And right now for the Cavs here, you want to keep all of your picks and hold on to them. Because the thing is, you can be wrong about a player in the draft. And if you sacrifice other picks to go trade up for a player and you end up being wrong, that being wrong, the net negative effect on your organization is exponential and hurts you in the future. So, again, yeah. I think you're fair, and Altman could be a little more aggressive at certain points in time. And I'm never one for, you know, listening to a GM in a press conference on a team that didn't make the playoffs pat themselves on the back. I don't necessarily. I know Neil O'Shea did a press conference in Portland at the end of the season where he was angry and defensive, and I don't know how well that plays either. You know what I mean? I think that at times you got to be realistic about where you are, and I always go back to the San Antonio culture, guys. In the end, you're better off accepting blame when things go bad and deflecting credit when things go well.
That's right.
Absolutely. That's right. Brian, let's switch it up to the NBA playoffs. And, you know, it's kind of – we're used to having the veteran superstars and the overwhelming favorites. It doesn't seem like we have that right now, do we?
That's the NCAA tournament feel to this, right?
Yeah.
You know, your final, you got eight seeds in each conference. Your final four in one conference is a 3 and a 5, or your final two in one conference. And your final two in the other conference is a 2 and a 4. It's fun. This is fun. One seeds went out in the second round in the NBA playoffs. That's been happening since 1994. Now, I know people are saying, oh, the league can't be happy. You don't have big markets. The league's not overly preoccupied with having big markets. They want star players. And, yes, there's no LeBron James, but let's be honest. LeBron James is 36 years old. He was in the finals last year, and the ratings in that final were terrible. Had nothing to do with LeBron James. Had to do with the fact that the NBA finals were up against college and NFL football. That's what it had to do with.
Yeah.
This year, you're back on not the normal calendar, but much closer to the normal calendar. You won't bump up against football. We'll see what happens with the ratings. But you do because you have a two-time MVP on a team that probably has the best chance to win it all right now, Milwaukee and Giannis. Devin Booker is an emerging star in this league. And if you watched anything and how he played yesterday, you realize that this is a guy people are going to notice very quickly. I've always been negative on Trae Young, and boy, am I eating my words now. The dude has been tremendous. He's played great. He's changed his game in a way I didn't think that he would. He's dynamic. He's fun to watch. And that team's a blast. The thing is, it's not traditional players. It's not traditional names. I think that it's tough for the league to have a guy like Kawhi Leonard out, who's won before when the Clippers are in this thing. I mean, that's not easy. Not having Chris Paul yesterday kind of stunk for them, but Chris Paul will be back maybe game two at the latest game three. So it's, I think you have enough star quality, and, you know, people get sick of the same team sometimes too.
That's right.
Super teams have always been good for business, but we knew going into last year with the way that we really, you know, the Nets are the only team in the league that's got a legit big three. Everything else is a big two with every team. And it was all spread out. It's been wide open. And I think that wide open aspect is going to, you're going to draw in casual fans in a way that maybe you haven't in the past. I don't think it's going to be so terrible for ratings for the league. I love the fact that we got some new blood going here.
Brian, how much credit do you give Nate McMillan for the job the Hawks have done here in the postseason?
I give him a lot of credit. I give him a lot of credit. You know what? It's Nate got fired in Indiana because he didn't win in the playoffs. And they realized pretty quickly the reason he didn't win didn't have anything to do with him. It had to do with the roster that he had that he kind of maxed out. What Nate has done here is he's managed to, and I feel very badly for Lloyd Pierce, who I think is not only an excellent basketball coach, but it's a wonderful guy. And because I think that Pierce was very tough on these guys, and they kind of, especially Trae Young, kind of tuned them out and really didn't give effort for him this year. And they pushed him to bring in management, pushed him to bring in Nate McMillan. And Lloyd knew when he brought in Nate McMillan that essentially if things didn't go right, he was having a successor sit right there, right next to him on the bench. And that's what happened. But that doesn't take away the fact that for whatever reason, McMillan's toughness was well-received by this group in a way that Pierce's wasn't. Is it totally fair to Pierce? I don't think it's totally fair to Pierce, but it doesn't take away the fact that Nate McMillan's done a tremendous job. One thing I'll tell you about this team, they're fearless. Whatever situation they're in, there's a constant belief that they can always pull out a game and win. They're an excellent three-point shooting team. Listen, to have a chance in this series, Bogdanovich is going to have to be healthy. By the way, what an interesting storyline going into this conference final. Bogdanovich was ticketed to Milwaukee in a sign-and-trade. Milwaukee violated league rules. That's sign and trade was undone because it happened before it was allowed to happen. And then Milwaukee pretty much was not allowed to get Bogdanovich. Atlanta signs him, and now they're going to meet in a conference final here. If he's healthy enough and he's got a bad knee, Atlanta's going to need him to stay in this series. There, besides Trae Young, this whole team, their whole offense is driven by what Herter, Gallinari, and Bogdanovich do behind the three-point line. That's essential to what this club does. And listen, it's fun. This is a really good team, and I think McMillan has done a super job in getting guys to buy in. But more than that, he keeps it simple, guys. You watch even what he did in the last two games of this series with Bogdanovich hurt. He pretty much played two fours together in the front court in Gallinari and Collins because he had the right matchups for him. And Gallo can step out and hit a three. It really worked well. It was a lineup combination he didn't use a lot of during the regular season. His willingness to experiment and the general mental toughness of this group speaks to the great job that he's done.
Brian, will Ben Simmons be on the 76ers next year?
I don't think so. But, you know, guys, it's such a complicated situation. It really is. Because here's what I'll tell you about Simmons. At one point or another, people have to, and I say people, I'm not just talking about fans, and I'm not just talking about media. I'm talking about executives and coaches in the league and other players, have to look at what Ben Simmons is and kind of get away from what you think he can be and what you want him to be. Because what he is a darn good player. What he isn't is a superstar. He's just not. And what's happened here is Ben Simmons has a desire to be this 6'10 point guard. And too many people in Philadelphia have given him what he's wanted. And it starts with Brett Brown. And if you remember last year when Simmons hurt his knee in the bubble and didn't finish the season, Brown had moved him off point guard, didn't want him to play there anymore because he knew it wasn't the right position. Brett Brown has told me on multiple times, okay, person to person, Ben Simmons should not be a point guard in this league. So what happens? Daryl Morey and Doc come in, and they build a team around Ben Simmons as a point guard. So now Ben Simmons can't cut it as a point guard here in a big playoff situation. And everybody's surprised and wants to throw Ben Simmons. They want to throw him in the trash, in a dumpster. Truth of the matter is, the guy's still a really good player. He's got a lot of value. He won't be with the Sixers next year. And it's going to be hard for Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey is really big in buying low and selling high. This is going to be a sell low. But by the same token, he's going to have to find some kind of lead guard somewhere that can fit much better with Joel Embiid than Simmons can. And Ben Simmons has got to decide that he wants to work on the things he needs to work on in his game. Listen, he's in great shape. He lifts weights. He runs. And that's all to look good in clothes for girls, right? But you got to be willing to shoot 500 free throws a day. You have to be willing to do that because you watch him shoot free throws and his form is broken. There's zero use of his lower body. There's no leg engagement. There's no hip engagement. He's not bending his knees. He has to get that part of his game going. And for him to be in fear of being fouled to the point where he doesn't want the ball in his hands and doesn't want to shoot, that's a personal failure on his part, but it's also a failure in the coaching staff and to not be harder on him to work on his game more. Simmons is a product of a guy that's had a lot of people say yes to him over his time as an AAU player, as 1 year as a college player, as an NBA player. And now someone can get his attention to do the work that he needs to do. With that said, if I'm a team trading for him, I'm going to trade for him based upon what he is, not what I think he can be. And what he is a guy that could be a heck of a good small – he's a four. He's a point forward that is a force in transition, can finish with both hands around the cup and needs to be playing elbow, low block, high post. He's a in-the-paint player in the half court. Whoever trades for him should and will use him that way. Ben Simmons' career is going to have another very, very good chapter to be written here. I'm not shoveling dirt on him, guys.
Brian, I love that line of too many people have said yes to him. That I think that's a problem with a lot of 20-year-olds these days. But
yes.
Brian, speaking of which, Cade Cunningham, young player, he seems to be the unanimous choice, number one pick in the draft. Do you see him as the next superstar or just a very good player?
I think he could be the next superstar. I do. I see him as that. This is a draft. With these top five players in this draft, it's loaded. It's absolutely loaded. And Cunningham, to me, is the surest shot out of anybody. I think he does so many things well on the court. And I think ultimately the thing I love about Cunningham is, you know, we hear the term positionless basketball all the time. This is a positionless player in today's NBA. You can slot him at four or five positions. I mean, I wouldn't play him at center, although if you're going to play small ball, we just saw the Clippers win a series playing a second half with Nicholas Batum at center. So, I mean, you can probably get away with that in certain spots anyway. I think he's the next big superstar here coming into this league, but he may not be the only one in this draft. Jalen Suggs is a stud guard, man. He looks as much like Westbrook as any guy I've seen come into the league and has that kind of motor and that willingness to compete and is a winner on every front. Mobley's going to be a project, but there's no doubt that you can see some Anthony Davis in there with that guy, with the perimeter game that he has. And don't sleep on these two kids from the G League Ignite team. Jalen Green is a 6'6" and can play both guard positions really well. And Jonathan Kuminga is what you're looking at in terms of an athletic stretch type of four for this league. It's the perfect mold for that. So these top five picks in this lottery tomorrow night is going to be huge, because if you can garner one of these top five picks, you're going to get a player that's a cut above everyone else in this draft.
All right, Brian, great stuff, man. Everybody check out Brian's work, hoopscritic.com on SiriusXM NBA Radio as well. We appreciate the time, Brian. Thanks, man.
Always my pleasure, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Take care.
You too.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.